Daf Yud Tes. So we got to the very top line. The Gemara now had been going through a number of statements in the name of Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar, various statements in Gata. So the Gemara continues on the same path and says it again at the top, V'amar Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar, Bo re'ei shelo kimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas bas v'dam. It's a big distinction, many distinctions, but one of the distinctions he's going to point out between man and God is that when it comes to midas bas v'dam, mischaif adam hariga l'malchus, a person had been given the verdict of the death penalty from a king. Matilin lo chaka l'soch piv. You place a piece of wood or something in his mouth. Rashi says eitz sheposeach piv shlo yochal adaber. You stick a piece of wood in his mouth so he can't speak. A kedesh shlo yikalas amelch, so he doesn't curse the king as he's going out to be killed. However, midas kadosh baruch hu adam mischayv hariga l'makom, a person who's chayv a death mises bidei shemayim shows that he is silent on his own, doesn't need to be told to not speak. Shenamar, it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, lecha dumia tsehila, dumia is lashon of vayidom aron, to be silent. So you're going to be silent. Below, not only will he be silent from cursing Hashem chas v'shalom, ela shemishabeach, he also praises Hashem shenamar tehila. So he's dumia, he's silent from critiquing, from insulting, from cursing Hashem, but he also praises Hashem as well. Below, not only that, ela shedomalo kilu makiv karbon. It's as if he's bringing a karbon and giving himself over to the death penalty. Shenamar ulecha yushulam neder, and he fulfills the giving of a neder of a karbon. So, Hainu Dama Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my dechsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says, also in Tehillim, Ovre be'emek habacha, mayan yishisuhu gam brachos yate mora, one who's in the depth of crying, in the water springs of drinking, and there's going to be many brachos. What does this pasuk all mean? So, Gemara Darshan's Ovre, elu b'nei adam she'ovrim al ritzono she'akadosh baruch hu, those who violate the will of God. Emek, the depth, shemamikin lehem gehenim, we place him in the depths of gehenim. Habacha, shebochen maridin demos kimayan shel shisin, that he's busy pouring out tears like shisin. Shisin, the area beneath the mizbeach, the makom hamikdash, where there was a, when Dar Melch was digging up, it was an overflow of water, it was a place of water. That's where you pour the nischamayim down that tube as well to the shisin. The gam brachos yatemura, also there's going to be brachos adorning him. Shematztikin alem esadin, he says, v'omer melefanov, he says how worthy is the judgment, how justice it was. Ribonish olam yafa dante, you were correct in your judgment of me. Yafa zakisa, yafa chayavte, yafa tikante, yikehenim l'risham, began edim litzadikim, that you were correct in making those innocent and those guilty and those punished and those rewarded. This is how a person goes out to Gehenim. So that's what the pasuk means. The Gemara now says, "Eini, is that really true?" V'hama Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, it says, "Rishon afilu al pischol shel Gehenim einon chozen b'tshuva." Even the entranceway to the Gehenim, where they know there's no turning back at this point, still they're too stubborn to admit the truth and to do tshuva. Shenamar v'yatzu v'ra'u b'figri ha'nashim ha'poshim bi. That you go out and see the bodies of those who are poshim. What do you mean poshim? Sheposhu lo nemar. Doesn't say those who had sinned in the past. Ela ha'poshim, that are continuing to sin as well. Sheposhim v'holchen li'olma. They're continuing forever to continue to be poshaya, even at the Pesach of Gehenim. They're not willing to retract. So how can we say that people, when they go to Gehenim, they admit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tzidak HaDin, but Reish Lakish says otherwise, that they're continuing to be Poshea even at the entranceway to Gehenim? And so the Gemara says, Lokasha, there's no contradictions, two different groups of people. Ha b'poshe Yisrael, ha b'poshe ovde kochavim. Poshe Yisrael, the sinners of Israel, the Jews who sin, they're the ones who they will admit when they're given the verdict of a Gehenim, they're pointed to that direction, they admit their wrongdoing and they do tshuva. But the poshe ovde kochavim, the non-Jews who are sinning, they continue to sin even as they're walking in to the gates of Gehenim. So Hachanami Mistaber, this is also very sensible to say, Dimkena, if that were not the case, Kashit Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish, there seems to be a contradiction for Reish Lakish himself. Dabar Reish Lakish, Poshe Yisrael Ein Ur Gehenim Shalatesh Behem. He says, the sinners of the Yidden, that the fire of Gehenim will not affect them. Kavachomer mi Mizbeach Hazav. We learn Kavachomer from the golden Mizbeach. Ma Mizbeach Hazav, Shein Olav Ela Ove Dinar Zav. The thickness of this be'ach is only the size of a coin of gold, and amad kamasharim v'loshalta ba'or, that the fire of this be'ach never affected, the gold stayed strong and shiny for all those years of the base of Mikdash. So, Poshe Yisrael, shemilein mitzos kerimon, that the sinners of Israel are full of mitzos like a pomegranate, shenemar, it says in the pasuk, kifelach harimon rakaseich, v'amar reish lakish, altikri rakaseich, ela reikaseich, that they're empty, they're rake, The empty ones, even the emptiest of the Yidden, still are full of mitzvahs like a rimon. Shafilun reken ba'acha shebach milayin mitzvahs karimon. So if the golden mizbeach was only so thick as a dinar, and yet they're protected from the fire, certainly the poshei Yisrael, who have many layers of protection of mitzvahs and rimonim, a rimon, alachas kamakama, should they be protected. So how could this be? How could Reish Lakish said Poshei Yisrael are protected from the Or of Gehinnom, but before it lay earlier he had said that there continued to be Poshea at the gate of Gehinnom? It must be Ela Haksiv Ovrei Be'emek Habacha. Therefore it must be that Ha B'Poshei Yisrael, Ha B'Poshei of the Kochavim. When it says those who are protected from the fire of Gehinnom, that's Poshei Yisrael. For those who are called Poshim are continued to be Poshea at the gates of Gehinnom. Those are Poshei Ovdei Kochavim. The Tosfos Shem asks an interesting question. He says, the Gemara in Chagiga points out that the Talmud Chacham is unaffected by the Or of Gehinnom. Why? We have a Kavachomer from a salamander. Remember the salamandra, which was created from fire, is protected from fire. How much more so is the Talmud Chacham, who's a halokot divara ke'esh, the Talmud Chacham himself is esh, certainly be protected from fire. Ask Tosfos Yeshanim, if the Poshei Yisrael, we learn from the Gemara in Ervin, if the Poshei Yisrael is protected from fire, certainly Talmud Chacham is protected from fire. So why do we need a Kavachomer in the Gemara Chagiga to learn from this salamander that Talmud Chacham is also not protected from fire? We know from the Mizbeach Azav, to which the Tosfos Yeshanim answers that the Poshei Yisrael, granted, they're protected from fire, but their face apparently turns black from Gehinnom. We learn at Talmud Chacham, even his face remains clean. It doesn't even turn black. There's no soot on the face of a Talmud Chacham. Now, another question they ask, based on the Kliyak, asks a question, how could you call the Reikonim Shebach that they're full of rimonim, mitzvos kirimon? If they're full of mitzvos, then they're not reik. Either they're reik or they're full. Which one is it? So he says, they really are reik. But when they do tshuva, all the zedonos turn into gezechuyos, and that emptiness turns and becomes full like a rimon. That's the Kliyakar's understanding. There are other explanations, but that's the Kliyakar. That was a very nice explanation. So Vayitin, the Gemara now, the Gemara says, asks the question, Ella, hadichsev ovrei b'emek habacha. So that was a pasuk seemingly referring to the Poshei Yisrael, that they're going to descend to the depths of Gehinnom. How are you going to explain this to Reish Lakish if he says that the Eish of Gehinnom doesn't affect Poshei Yisrael? It says they're going to be in Gehinnom. Why are they going to Gehinnom if they're not going to be affected by it? And so the Gemara says, Hahud mechayva hishaita b'Gehinnom v'aso. There are certain people, certain Yidden, Poshei Yisrael, who are appointed to go down to the gates of Gehinnom. When they end up in Gehinnom, the Asi Avram Avinu, Avram comes, Umasik Luhu, and he brings them up, Umakabalu, he takes them out. So initially, Enechanami, all Poshei Yisrael go to Emek Habacha. They all go down to Emek Habacha, but Avram yanks them out and protects them. Bar, with the exception of one group of individuals, Bar Miyisrael Shebal Bas Ovdei Kochavim. A Yid who is a Ba on a Goy, Dimach Shar Laso, that when they get to Gehenim, they pull his Arla over as if he's not a Yid. Velo Mivakshi Lehe, and Avram won't recognize him without the Mila. And that's the individual who stays down in Emek Habacha. Everyone goes, but Avram saves them, except for this type of avarian. So the Gemara then says, "Amaskivla Rav Kana." Rav Kana challenges this and says, "Hashta de amris poshim de pirshav yozli." That we said poshim means those who are continually to violate the averas, even at the gate to Gehinnom, when they know what their end is going to be, their demise is there. Yet they still continue to do averas and not to do tshuva. El miyata dechsev hamotzi. When it says in the pasuk hamotzi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, that Hashem continues to take us out. Does the word motzi, does the lashon of hove always mean that one continues to do so? Hashem took us out already. Hamala demasik medemafiku. He already took us out. He's not motzi us anymore. It happened. So motzi doesn't mean currently. So too poshim doesn't mean currently. It means it could be even one who used to sin. Se'ela de'asik v'apik hachanami. We're going to say here as well that Hashem took us out and He brought us back in and back and forth from Mitzrayim. Hachanami here as well. It doesn't mean that Hashem, that the people rather are poshim constantly. It means that they used to sin. The Pashe, who, and therefore they did in the past, and this is not a question anymore, that even Reish Lakish, it goes against Reish Lakish understanding that no, even the Poshei Yisrael, they're going to do tshuva at the gates of Gehinnom, they're not going to be continued to be poshim at all. So this is a different interpretation of that pasuk. A poshim was just a misunderstanding of how to interpret that word. So Gemara now says, continuing on the same series of statements in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, V'amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Shlosh Psachim Yesh L'Gehinnom, the three entranceways into the gates of Gehinnom. Echad b'midbar, echad b'yam, v'echad b'yushalayim. These are three different locations. One in the desert, one out in sea, and one in Yushalayim. B'midbar, it says in the Midbar, d'chsiv, it says in Korach, v'yeridu ha'em v'chal shalem, chaim sh'ola, shows the depth they fell to the crack in the ground. That was the entranceway into Gehenna. Bayam, how do we know Bayam? It says in Yonah, Mibeten Sheol Shivati Shimati Koli. From the depths of the stomach of the fish, Sheol is always a reference to Gehenna. So there's some entranceway into Gehenna through the Yam, through the sea. That's the second location. And the third location, Beyushalayim, it says in Yeshaya, Ne'um Hashem Asher Urlo B'tzion, V'tanerlo B'Yushalayim, and there's a fire in Yushalayim, V'taner Debei Rabbi Yishmael, Asher Urlo B'tzion, Zu Gehenim. It's referring to the fire of Gehenim, V'tanerlo B'Yushalayim, Zu Pischa Shel Gehenim. In other words, in Tzion, in Eretz Yisrael, somewhere there exists Gehenim, and the entrance way to that is someplace in Yushalayim. So these are three entrance ways to Yushalayim. You're going to get there. Vesu. Furthermore, Lekka, there's no other places, just those three entranceways. Excellent. Vahamer, Rabbi Mirion, Amr, Rabbi Shub, and Levi, Vahamer, Le, others say, Tan, Rabbi, Rabbi Mirion, Bidebe, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Zakkai, Shtei, Tomorrow's Yesh, Begay, Ben Hinom. That's what Ezra is referring to. I assume that there's a certain valley, if you go near the old city, outside the old city, there's these two dates trees, and it's called the valley, Gay Ben Hinom. That's the name of the location, right outside Yushalayim. Va'ola Ashen Mibinayim, and smoke comes out every so often. Vizuhi Sheshaninu Tzinei Har Barzel Kisheros, and referring to halachas of a lulav, that you could get the lulav of those date trees that actually kusher for Hilchos lulav. Vizuhi Pischa Shel Gehenim. So this is an entranceway to Gehenim. So there's a fourth location of the entranceway to Gehenim. To which the Gemara says, Dilma Hainu Yushalayim. That's what it meant in Yushalayim. It was this place called Gay Ben Hinom. It was right outside Yushalayim. Maybe it's within the borders, maybe outside the border, but that was really the third place. It was one and the same as the location in Yushalayim.
It's not as possible just because they used to see the smoke.
Exactly, yeah. So the Gemara then says, so Amar Rabbi Yishub ben Levi. Now that we spoke about Gehenim, so we use the word Sheol. So Gemara says there are really Shiva Shemos Yesh LeGehenim. There's seven different names used to describe Gehenim or to refer to Gehenim. Ve'eluhen Sheol va'avadon uber shachas ubor shon v'tit hayaven v'tamaves v'eretz hatachtes. And the Gemara is going to bring a raya for each one of these. Sheol, the Chassid says in the pasuk in Yonah, which we just saw, mibeten Sheol shivati shemati koli. That's how we know Sheol is a reference to Gehenim. Avadon, a place of destruction or loss. Dichseva hayusupar bekerv chazdecha amunuascha ba'avadon. The reference to the bitachon one has, even when he's in the kever, even when he's in a place of avadon, a reference to Gehenim. The third name is Be'er Shachas, dichseva kilo sazov nafshi l'shol lositein chasidcha liros shachas. The next one is Bor Sheon v'tit hayavin. These two, the Chassid says in the pasuk, "Vayaleinu mi Bor Sheon." I'm going to bring you up from the Bor Sheon v'tit hayavin. So these are two other names of Gehenim. And Tamaves, the Chassid, Yoshvei Choshech v'tamaves. And finally, the seventh one is Eretz Hatachdis. It's a Gemara. That's a tradition. We have a Masara, even though there's no pasuk for it. That is still a reference of one of the names of Gehenim. So Gemara says Vesulaka, only seven, no more. For Ha'ika Gehenim. What about Gehenim itself? That itself is a name. That's the eighth name. So the Gemara says, Gay Shamuka ke, it's a few different yourselves here. So the Gemara says, again, the answer is, Gay Shamuka ki Gay Hinam Shako Yoredla al Iske Chinam. So it's a place, a deep valley to which people go for nothing. Chinam, Rashi says, really means for Arayos. So it's not really the name of a place, it's really describing what goes on there, but not the actual name of the place. Now, the Marsha points out in this question of Gehenim, outside of the last one of Eretz Tachtis, all the other ones had a pasuk for it. So, seemingly there should be a pasuk for Gehenim, but he says there is no pasuk anywhere in the Torah that calls it Gehenim. That's just how we refer to it in Chazal, but it's not really a pasuk. So he does refer to a pasuk in Yeshua, which calls a place Gei Ben Hinom, which we talked about before. That would be a reference to the name of Gehenim, but the Gemara says Gehenim is not really the name of the place, it's just a description of the place. So there's really only seven names. So then the Gemara says, Va'ika, what about the name Tofte? Isn't that also Dichsiv? It says by Sancheirv and Yeshaya, Ki Aruch Me'esmal Tofte, that you were destined for this place from yesterday, a place called Tifte, which is a place of Gehenim. And the Gemara says, no, Hahu, that Tefte is not a name of the place, it's a description. Shekoha Misfate B'Yitzro Yipol Sham. Those who are all coerced by their own Yetzihara, they're convinced and brought in by they're driven by the Yetzihara, they're going to end up in Gehenim. So Tofte is not the name of the place, it's just a description of who ends up in that particular place. So the Gemara then says, Gan Eden, Amrei Shlakish. So we spoke about Gehenim, let's talk about the place of Gan Eden. So where's that? So Gan Eden, Amrei Shlakish, Rish Lakish, it's in the Eretz Yisrael. Gan Eden's found in Eretz Yisrael. Beishan, it's got to be in this place called Beishan. It's Pischal, that's the entranceway, because that has a place of delicious fruits. So we know wherever Gan Eden is, a good indicator is where there's delicious fruits. Im Baravya, if it's somewhere in Arabia, so Beis Gerim Pischa must be, the entranceway must be through Beis Gerim, that area, because that also has delicious fruits. Vim Bein Hanaro, so if it's between the rivers, I assume the rivers above El, but could be some other rivers, then it's going to be Dumas Ginan Pischa, the entranceway must be this place called Dumaskin, which also has delicious fruits. No one really knows where it is, but it's some place where there's a high quality of fruits. So the Gemara says, "Bebavel." If it's found in Bavel, so by Mishtavach bePere deMavar Yimina, he says they're delicious fruits in the south of the Euphrates River. So that's got to be the entranceway to Gan Eden. VeRava Mishtavach bePere deHarafna, he referred to another location called Harafna, which had delicious fruits. So that would be the entranceway. So nobody really knows, but the only thing that they do know is wherever the entranceway will be, it's got to be greeted with delicious fruits, whether it be in Bavel, Aravia, or Eretz Yisrael. It's going to have nice fruits in the way in. Not that familiar with. No. There's an idea because that's where the avos are, so the avos are placed in Gan Eden, but it's such a concept of the smell of Gan Eden being there. But I'm not sure if the Gemara specifically says the Gan Eden. The Gemara then says, Ubenem Kimlo Shtei. So now we're going back, the God is over. We're going back now to lachas of Pasi Biros. We spoke of Pasi Biros, a special heter around the boar to build the pasim of the four corners, and if you need even bigger, to space in between the flat and the straight walls as well. So the Gemara had said that the distance between the different pasim had to have been kimlo shtei rifkos, that two bundles or herds of, not really a herd, but groups of cows, and one opinion, Rabbi Meir says three cows together next to another three cows together, so a total of six, and Rabbi Yehuda said four cows and four cows, a total of eight cows. So the Gemara is going to get technical again. The Gemara says, Pshita, it says in the pasuk kshiros, then it goes on to say mutaros, that you have to tie it together and tie it, but don't leave it untied. So Gemara says, if I know it's tied, so I know it can't be untied. It's really repeating the same concept. Came in the Tani Le Dikshirus Havu Ani Adina and Delahavi Mutaris. We know Mimela that's not going to be untied. So why does it repeat the same idea in two different ways? So Gemara says, Mal the same. What would I have thought? Kshirus Kein Kshirus. That should be like tied, but not actually tied. But Mamish Lo, just that they're close together, but not that you have to tie them tightly. No, they've asked the mamish tie. Don't untie them. That's the type of the closeness of the cows we need in order to measure the distance between the different pasim. So then the Gemara said, Achas nichnes v'achas yotis. When you had the two groups of cows going into the entranceway, so one should be facing inwards and one should be facing outwards. Achas nichneses again v'achas yotis. So Tana, the Gemara says, Rivka nichneses, Rivka yotis. Don't think that the cows should be alternating. No, the groups of cows should all be facing the same direction. One group is facing this direction, the other group is facing the other direction. Gemara then says, last line of the Omid here, Tana Rabban, the Brisa says, Kama rosha verubo shapara. How big, how long is the head and the most of the body of a para? It's shtei amos, two amos long. We had said in the Mishnah that if you're going to make the area behind the around the boar small, you can not make it any smaller than two amos to fit the cat, the rosh and rubo of the cow. In other words, you need to have at least two amos of space from the boar and the cow to fit in from each direction. So we're going to go through some of these calculations. V'kama ovyo ashapar, what's the thickness, the width of the cow? So ama ushne shlishi ama. It's an ama, and 2/3 of an ama is the width of a cow. So now the Gemara is going to go through some calculations. Shehen ke'eser divi Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says that there are a total of six cows, right? So if each cow is an ama and 2/3, doing some quick math, that equals ama and 2/3 ends up being times six is 10 amos. So that's how Rabbi Meir gets his shear of 10 amos. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who felt that there were four cows, now it's four in each herd, so it's really eight cows, eight times an amma, and 2/3 ends up being eight, ends up being a weird number of 14 and a third. 14 and a third, I think, no? I think it's eight. It's 16, 3, 5.
16 is 8. 8 plus 8. 16,
8, no. It's not an even thing. Ends up being, I think, 14 and a third. Well, let me just go quick. So I'm sorry. 8, 2/3 is 16 and 3, 5. 5 and a third. It's 13 and a third. 13 and a third, isn't it? 13 and a third is the amount. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Kishlosh Esri Amma, Ukarbe Esri Amma. He doesn't give it the exact 13 and a third. He says around 13, around 14. The Gemara is going to figure out, is it 13 or is it 14? We know the true math is a 13 and a third. And the Gemara is going to end up saying, he didn't want to really give an exact number because it was like an off number. So he said around 13, 14. The Gemara is going to go through that right now. The Gemara says, Ki Esser, Ha Esser, Havi, we mean Ki Esser, like 10. It is Mamish Esser. Reb Meir says, it's around 10. No, for the math of Reb Meir, 6 times 1 and 2 thirds is a very clean math of 10 amos. So what do you mean, ke'eser? So Gemara says, Mishum da'bar l'misay seifa kishloshe, so since for Reb Yehuda, he had to give an estimation of around 13, so he also taught the ke'eser as well. But really, Reb Meir was exactly 10. So Gemara says, Kishloshe, it's not around 13 for Reb Yehuda, it's tvehav, it's larger than 13. Mishum debar lemisay ka'arba asar, because he had to teach a ka'arba asar, like 14, he also taught kishlosh esrei, like 13. Gemara says, well, ka'arba esrei lohavya, it's not like 14 either. It's not 13, it's not 14 for Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says, Amar Rapapa, Rapapa says, yeseris al shalosh esrei, veina magiyas la'arba asar. No, it means it's more than 13, less than 14, and so instead of giving an exact number of 13 and a third, he just simply said, it's around 13 or 14, amos is the distance between the various pasim. Okay, Gemara now says, Amra Papa, Papa points out, Shmona de Chuyama lo pligi de lo ba'inan pshutin. Bor Shmona Chuyama lo pligi de lo ba'inan pshutin. The bore itself is 8 amos. So now imagine the center of the bore is 8 amos in each direction. That's the diameter. And now you have 2 amos in each direction because we need at least 2 amos to fit the chalazon. So now going the distance, you have 8 amos in the center, 2 amos on each side. So you're working with now a total of 12 amos across the way. Right, so again, let's go through this again. So we have the center of the square. We imagine we have a square pasim. The bore is a diameter of 8 amos. You have 2 amos on the right side, 2 amos on the left side. That's 12 amos across the way. Now we know each of the diumenin, the corners, is an am each direction. So really, even though it's 12 amos from corner to corner, you could subtract an amma here, and amma here, the 10 amos is in between the parts. So that's a clean type of pasim beiros. So it comes to a situation, again, bore shmona, where the bore is 8 amos wide, the chuliyama, and then again, 2 amos on each side, giving a total of 12 amos, chuliyama lo pligi dilo ba'inan pshutim. Everybody agrees you don't need the pshutim in between the corners because everyone tolerates 10 amos. Rabbi Meir certainly, and even Rabbi Yehuda, who allows even more than 10 amos. So when there's 10 amos between each of the corners, each of the diumdin, it's actually fine. There's no need for pasim of pshutim in between the corners. In the other, another case, he says, if it's a bore, shemesh, right? If it's a bore that's 12 amos wide, which means now the space for the cow is 2 on each side, so it's 16 amos is the width. So now when you knock off a corner of amma and another corner of amma, you're down with 14 amos, that's too wide. Everybody's going to agree you definitely do need pasim to minimize the breach. So again, bebor shemesh, right? Chuyama lo pligi deba'inam pshutim. You certainly do need pshutim in order to minimize the breach, because the breach in this case is 14 amos. Ki pligi, when does Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir argue? It's mishmona vad shemesre. Anywhere in between, where the breach is somewhere between 10 and 13 and a third amos, that's where there's a debate. Above 10 amos, Rabbi Meir already requires a pasim pshutim. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require it until you get to the point of 13 and a third. That's the machlokes. The Rabbi Meir, bainam pshutim, and Rabbi Yehuda, lo bainam pshutim. So Gemara then says, Rapapa, my kamashlam, it's a chiddush, tanina, it's a mishnah. You know, what Reb Papa just told us is math. We could have done the math on our own based on what we just saw in the Mishnah. Why did Reb Papa have to go through the hassle of going through the math? Gemara says, Reb Papa, Brais lo shmile, v'kamashlon kebraisa. But he did not hear the Brais that we just spoke about earlier. The Brais that said, Reb Yehuda says, kishlosh esrei karbasa. He didn't know that Brais. He on his own figured this out. And then he ended up saying, okay, he was mamish mechavi to the Brais. So had he known the Brais, he wouldn't have contributed it. But he didn't know the Brais. So that's why he went through this whole calculation. So Gemara now says, quotes a simon, Aryach Yoser Betel Chitas Chatzer Shiyavsha simon. That's the mnemonic for the next few discussions. We're going to go through different discussions of whether or not sometimes we'd be speaking about if the breach between the diumdin are so big, we said put pasim in between. We're going to suggest, according to different angles, can you ever take the diumdim and make them longer than an amma? That's another option. We could close a breach by making the diumdim longer. Or maybe a diumdim has to be dafka, an amma. It can't be longer than an amma. So Gemara.
It's
at 12, no?
I understand, but then you have 14, and the machlokes is really between 13 and a third and 12 and 8, right? Because the amount of paras. Meaning we switch from 14, which would be the empty space, to 13 and which is...
No, but I'm saying 14, though. When it's 14, everybody agrees you definitely need passing. That's larger than he allows. He only allows for 13.
13 and 7, 8. there's still the machlokes. Also,
right, it wasn't being so exact to the So the Gemara then says, "By Minei Abai Mirabba Rabba Abai Asin Rabba Herich Bidyomdin." Kishir pshutin. So let's say you take the diyumdin and you extend the diyumdin more than amav, you make it pshutin. In other words, you would try to use that to make it longer to close the breach as opposed to using pshutin. The Rabbi Meir, mahu, what does the Rabbi Meir allow you to use this? So Amar Lei, Tanisua, we have a Mishnah which says, ubilvad shiarba bepasim, that you increase pasim. It's going to be a subtle difference here, how to use this word here. Ubilvad shiarba bepasim, mylav demarech bidyomdin. Does it not mean where you extend the diyomdin to make it like a pasim themselves? Not to put pasmin, but to extend the diyomdin to use as a pasim? Lo, demapish vavid pshutim. What it means is don't extend these diyomdin, rather place straight pasim along the way to close the breach. Ihachi, hai ubavad shiarbe bepasim ad shiarbe pasmi bailei. The diktuk is incorrect. The word is wrong. It shouldn't be yarbe. It should be yarbe bepasim. It should be yarbe pasim. Yarbe bepasim means you extend the actual pas that exists. Yarbe pasim, it sounds like you put noop shoot them along the way. So Gemara says, you're right. Tani ad shiarbe pasim. They took out the letter beis to make it pasim as opposed to bipasim, and therefore we learn you cannot extend the diyumdin, rather you have to add pshutim in between. So ikadamri, there are those who learn it a little bit differently. Amrle tinisua, learn in the Mishnah ubavad shiarbe bipasim mylav demapish vavid pshutim. Does it not mean that you extend the diyumdin to make them longer, like pshutim themselves? Lo, rather to add pasim along the way. I'm sorry. Lo demarach diyumdin. It means not to add in pasim, but rather to extend the corner pieces to close the breach. And Hachanai Mestavra, it's also very sensible to say this, Mitikatani Bavad Shiarbe Bepasim Shmamina, that you end up extending the Diyumdim and not adding Pasim. In other words, the Gemara doesn't have a clear maskana. There are two Ikadamris. One, the first Ikadamri says, you cannot extend the Diyumdim, it must be only an Amma by an Amma, and you must add Pshutim to close a breach. And this second Ikadamri says, no, you actually would increase the Diyumdim in order to minimize the breach in between. So there's no clear answer.
Then should be okay. Exactly.
But the Gemara says
they both work. It's just what
no, not necessarily. It's possible that diyumdin only works when it's amma by an amma.
If it's more or not.
Yeah, it may
if
not.
It's
right.
Considered only an amma.
Exactly. Because the whole thing's a cool in the first place. So the cool was amma and amma. Once you start playing games, maybe I'm not sure why, but that's the Gemara trying to figure out. The Gemara doesn't have a clear answer. I don't know how a paskin the halach lemaisa, but that's the two different answers. So the Gemara then says, "Abai minei, abai mirabba, abai asrabba." Another question. Yoser mishlosh shrei ama ushlish l'Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if you have a breach greater than 13 and a third for Rabbi Yehuda, because for him that's too much of a breach for pasim beiros, mahu pshutim avid o b'diyumdin marach. So, same question. Should you add in pshutim along the way, or can you extend the diyumdin to make them longer, more than an ama, to close the breach? So, amar lei, tanisua, we learn in the Mishnah, kamehain mukuravim. How close can you put the diyumdin together? Kedei, rosho, rubo, shapara. As long as you don't put them close enough, there has to be at least two amos of space around the border and the boar and the border to allow the cow to have his head and most of the body inside. The kama, ruchakim, how far could you extend it? Afilu korb, afilu karaim. You can make it huge acres if you wanted. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, base sasayim. He limits the area to only base sasayim. Mutter, but more than that, Yosef base sasayim, he felt it's usher to carry in this area. It would be usher. And Amr lo, Chacham respond back to Rabbi Yehuda to his limitation. Iata mode bedir. Would you not agree if you have a deer, a big pen of animals, that you could expand as much as you want? Umuksa v'chatzer, that if sar, muksa v'chatzer, afilu bas chamishas karim, afilu bas asar karim shemutter. So if just like you could expand areas of makom dira, why would you limit pasim beiros as well? So Amr Lehener, Rabbi Yehuda says, Zu mechitza ve'elu pasim. You can't compare the cases. Because when it comes to a deer, a sowar, a muksa, a chatzir, those are real walls we're talking about. A real mechitza going around. So I agree, if a mechitza is shlemos, you can have as big as you want. But here when it comes to pasim beiros, there's not walls. These are pasim. They're little corner pieces. And you don't have the same kulas that one could apply. Now, Vim Yisav, it's really true that Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to expand the diyumdim larger than the actual amma here, amma there. You could also have a case zumachitza v'zumachitza mibaylei. Since he didn't suggest making the pasim corners diyumdim as longer walls, the very long walls must be. He did not allow you to extend the diyumdim. Diyumdim must be only amma here, amma there, and that's why he contrasted a machitza by the deer to a pasim with respect to pasim biros. So the Gemara says, no, Hachi Kamar. He says, Zu Taras Mechitala u Pirtoseh Be'eser, Ve'elu Taras Pasimalem Pirtoseyem Be'shloshesrei Amma Ushlesh. He says, no. Even he would agree, perhaps, that you could extend the Dyumdim to make them larger. But in the end of the day, the Pasim Be'eros are still different. Even if you make them as long as the Mechitza, in the end of the day, there are certain Kulas that apply to Pasim Be'eros, which would actually inhibit the expansion. In other words, when it comes to a real machitza, real walls, so we can only allow for 10 amos of a breach, nothing more. When it comes to pasim beiros, there's a kula that we can allow for 13 and a third breach according to Behuda. But since there's that built-in kula that we allow for more of a breach, there's also a limitation in that we can't expand it as much as a typical machitza. And since these types of pasim, it's a machitza. You can expand the dyumdim, but it's not a classic machitza. It is limited, and therefore there is no conclusion either for Rabbi Yehuda what approach he would take. Would it be to expand the diyumdim or would it be to add pshutim in between the breaks? So Gemara asks a similar question in the sugya of diyumdim. Bay minei abay miraba. Tel hamislaket asara mitoch arba. If you have a little bit of a mound that has a slope where it goes up 10 tfachim over the period of 4 amos. The 4 amos is the horizontal, and the vertical is 10, so it creates whatever the slope would be, 10 tfachim high, 4 amos are wide. So he wants to know, nidon mishum diumud, o eno nidon mishum diumud. Can that serve as a corner? Up until now, we've been speaking about a very typical corner piece. I'm here, I'm there. But now you have a situation where one corner is a mound. So the mound isn't a corner piece, but you could carve out, in theory, a corner piece within that mound. So can you use it as one of these corner pieces or not? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Tanisu, we have a Mishnah, that our Brisa that teaches us that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Hayisosham Evan Murubas. If there's, let's say, a square stone, Rowan Kol Shilu Techalik V'yeshba Amalekan Amalekan. Even though it's a full brick or concrete, if you could envision it to be carved out and there's a corner, Amma this way, Amma that way, that actually serves a Nidon Mishuma Diumar. Vimlav, if it after carving it out, it won't have an amma here and amma there, meaning the dimensions are less than an amma by an amma, then eno nidon mishum diyumin. We cannot view this as a diyumin. And Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan, Baruch Omer, he adds Hayisosham Evan Agulav. There's a circle stone. So now he says two steps. Rowan kol shilo techalik. First, you want to kind of carve off the circle piece to make it a square. So now first you're envisioning shaving off the round parts, making it a square. And then, one step further, and then, v'yesh ba'ama la'am l'kan, if there's a'ama ba'ama, nidon mishum diyumad, then you can utilize even the circle piece as well for a diyumad. V'im lav, if not, eino nidon mishum diyumad, you can't. So b'may pligi, what's the machlokas here, whether or not, according to Tanakama, only a square piece could you use as a diyumad? But Rabbi Shmuel ben Broka says you could even use, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, you could even use a circle piece. Machlokes is Mar Savar Chad Ron Aminon Trey Ron Lo Aminon. You only say one step. So a square piece to carve out, that's one step. But to take a circle to first turn into a square and then to turn into a etched out square, that won't be allowed. However, Mar Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rabbi Yochanan Broka says Savar Afilu Trey Ron Namirim. We also say you could make it two steps. So at least according to Rabbi Shmuel, he would say a mound, which is pretty much a circular shape, you could carve it out into a square. And then you could carve out the center to make it the corner piece you need. But according to the Tanakhama, one would not be able to do that because that would be two steps away. That's how he would answer this question. It's Talay on this Machlokas tonight. Let's do, I think, one more. Maybe two more. I think it's one more, I think. Martin's, Bai Minei. Yeah, we're doing good. So, Bai Minei, Abai Miraba, Chitas Hakonim, Kana Kana Pachas Mishlosha. Let's say one of the three corners of the pasim beiros is made of a number of reeds. So we'll see if the reeds are just lined up together within three tvachim, or maybe they're attached to the bottom. But right now it seems that they're reeds just standing vertically within three tvachim of each other, where you could use lavud. So the question is, nito mishim diumad olo. It's shaped like one of the typical corners, but it's not a full plank of wood. They're just reeds that are within three tvachim of each other. So can this be utilized as one of the four corners? So Amar Le, Rabbah responds back to him, Tinisua, we have a brisa that described, we had this earlier in the Masechta, Hayasham Ilan, let's say you have a boar or a be'er that's been surrounded by an Ilan in one corner, or Geder, or a stone on the other corner, Ochitas Akanim, which is our case, seemingly, a group of weeds, reeds rather, Nidon Mishim Diumad, you're able to utilize each one of these as long as it has a proper measurement of an Amma by an Amma. So my love is, it's not a case where the kana, the example of chitas akanim, is it's not where it's kana, kanim, pachas, mishlosha, where each of the reeds are within three tzvachim of the other vertical reed. And we see that it certainly can be used as a diumadim, a first raisa. And where it says love, not true, it's the gudrisa, the kana. It's where they actually combine, they're mechuber to each other. It's like a little bush where the reeds come out of the one bush, they're attached to each other. That's when you could use it, but it's not a raya that you would have reeds in the ground within three tzvachim that would work. So it's not a raya. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, in essence, we're talking about a bush that has reeds coming out of it. Isn't that Hainu Ilan? Isn't that what a tree is? What's the difference between a tree and a bush of reeds? What's the difference? The Gemara says, Elamai, it must be therefore not where it's attached to each other. It's Kana, Kana, Pachas, Mishalosha. The Braisa must be referring to a different situation of a tree, rather where you put reeds in the ground, little poles in the ground, within three Tvachim of each other. So then the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Hainu Gether, that's what a Gether is. It's a man-made. One's, you know, natural, and one's man-made. So who cares whether it's made of stone, bricks, trees, or wood? It's either a Gether, man-made, or it's a Mechuber, it's natural. So Elamayis L'chalmeim, what are you going to say? Trey, Gavnei, Gether. There are two different types of walls. You could build a stone wall, and you could build a wall from wood. Hachanami, Trey, Gavnei, Ilan, the two types of trees. There's a tree where it's a regular tree, and there's a tree that's like a bush of Chitzes Akanim, and therefore, there is no raya how to interpret the Brisa, because you could really plug it in either way, because it's going to overlap with one of them. Either it's like a tree, or it's like a gedder. So Ikadami, others say, the question was not about Chitzes Akanim, about reeds that are within three Tvachim of each other. Some say the question Abai had asked Rabbah was, can you use Gudrisa, the Kani, Kamibaile? When you have a bush with reeds coming out of that, will that work for one of the Dyumdim? So, Gudrisha Dekane Mai, so what's the din? So the Gemara says, Amar Le, Tinisua, Hayasham Geder, O Ilan, O Chitas Akanim, Nidal Mishum Dyumad. We have three examples of that which could be used as Dyumad. My love, when we have the example of Chitas Akanim, is it not talking about Gudrisha Dekane? This case of a bush, Mechuber Lekarker, where these branches are coming out, so we see that certainly it can be used for a Dyumad. And the Gemara says, "Lo, the chitz akanim is a case where it's not natural; rather, it's man-made, whereby it's kana kana pachas mishlosha, where he puts in three or a bunch of poles within three tvachim of each other. Ihachiv, it's man-made. Hainu gather, is that not what a gather is? A man-made stone wall. And the Gemara says, Elamai must be gudrisa is the kani hainu ilam. But if it's going to be a bush, isn't that what a tree is? So Elamai slichal meimer, what are you going to say? Tre gavne ilan hachnami tre gavne gather. Okay, that's how the Gemara concludes.
So the Havamina is that.